Hi, my name is Bruce McDonald, and you're listening to After the Credits on Row3.com, the best row in the house.
Welcome to another episode of After the Credits. I am Marina Antunes, and joining me today...
Colleen from 353review.com.
Dale from digitaldoodles.com.
How are you guys doing on this beautiful, beautiful day?
Oh, it's hard to be bummed with weather like this.
Oh,
like,
I know.
It's crazy. I was driving over, and like the light, it was just like, my eyes forgot how to open this wide. It burns.
What is that? Is that sun?
And it's not even a bright day.
No, but it's so nice out.
Wonderful.
It's
and
awesome.
And the temperature isn't like freezing your cojones off.
It's nice in the sun. It's really quite nice.
Yeah, I have a bunch of stuff laminating in the backyard, gluing up in the sun.
Nice.
Good.
Well, pretty soon we're going to have to do our... I don't think we ever did this last year, but we're going to have to record a show outside.
Sweet.
I think that'll be kind of cool.
We did that one live show for...
Sunshine.
Yeah.
Which we did outside with the traffic sounds.
That was
kind of cool.
Yeah, and the traffic sounds didn't actually...
No, not really. Just in the background, so it's kind of neat. But yeah, we should totally do that at some
Definitely.
Point.
Definitely, yeah.
But we're here today because it is April, and we have two essentially bad movies that we're kind of excited to look at, in both Fast and Furious, which is not that good, and Crank 2, which hopefully will be better. And we thought we would look at not necessarily guilty pleasures. I don't really know. Did we come to a term?
It started off as guilty pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we all get here after doing our research, and it sounds weird talking about it in the third person that way, but it's like, what the hell is a guilty pleasure really? Is it a good movie that you're kind of shy of watching? Or admit that you watched? I have a couple of those. Is it a bad movie that you liked?
Yeah,
I'm an unapologetic B movie fan. So what the hell's a guilty pleasure for me?
Like, well, that's the thing.
I feel no guilt over liking a film. I feel guilt for the things I did to other people that weren't particularly nice, but not about what I like in film.
I would think it's a fairly personal thing too, right? Because some people are much more open than others. So whereas, you know, I'm unabashedly a Twilight fan, somebody else might be a closet fan that wouldn't.
Well,
it would be a big deal to announce that to the world.
I adored Postal. Everyone else on the planet hated it.
Yeah. So.
Well, and I'm a little bit ashamed to admit, but less so, that I enjoy romantic comedies.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a really personal
And some
thing,
kid
right?
stuff, too. Although kid stuff's easier. And I hate you all you parents that have an excuse to go to these kids movies. Like, I was talking to Jordan Behan on Friday, and he's on record now. on Quick TV, it's like, yeah, it's great, man. I got the kids. I can go to things again.
Yeah, well, I think for me, I sort of lost that. I guess that shyness of, you know, what you watch and what you listen to and what you read when I started like really reading a lot of teen fiction, and now I usually go into the bookstore. That's the first place I go is the teen books. And for the first little while, it was kind of like, you do it when no one's looking. You sort of like sneak over there and see what's on the shelves. And now it's just like, who the hell cares?
You feel like the creepy old person in the overcoat.
Well, you don't have to go, well, yeah, it's for my niece.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like weird. But now it seems to be much more acceptable that, okay, well, that's where I read from. I read from everywhere. It just happens to be that that's where I like to read from generally. Because the stories are interesting, but... I feel the same way about movies.
I think once you've been a sci-fi fan, it's just like people look down on you anyway. So fuck them.
Go for it. Exactly. That's so true, eh?
Although, that's a whole different discussion. But it's like, God damn it, Margaret Atwood can write a mediocre idea that's been covered a bazillion times, and she gets all this fanfare.
Because she's Margaret Atwood.
Because she's Margaret Atwood. And in the meantime, there's all these other great science fiction authors covering ideas. But okay, yeah. Digression over. Rant done.
Rant done. So we all came up with our own list, some organized, some not so organized. I have to admit, mine isn't of a top five.
I want to start off with, are there any categories you feel a little bit sheepish about mentioning when it comes to, like, for me, it's definitely romantic comedies. Because it's just like, dude, you like chick flicks? Like, yeah. Are you gay?
No.
And it's like, well, I know a bunch of gay guys that don't like romantic comedies too, so don't.
Yeah.
I can't think of a genre. There's genres I don't like, but it's not like I'm embarrassed if there's an exception to the rule. Citizens the Blue. I don't like animation as a general rule. That kicked ass.
Right.
For me, it's the teen movies.
Teen stuff?
Yeah. There's... generally they're shit, but every once in a while you strike on a good one, and I watch a lot of them, more than I probably should for a reasonable grown up at all, but for some reason, I don't know, they sort of, I just enjoy them as, you know, candy kind of thing. I like my serious movies, but I like my teen movies.
Now we could do a whole one of the things that I started with my list of guilty pleasures were a bunch of, like, we called them different things, but like throwaway movies or one-time movies. It's like, I really enjoyed watching that once. I will never watch it again.
We should do a list, because I have a couple.
And I started crossing those ones off, yeah, because they weren't really guilty pleasures. Although, no. And then there's a bunch of movies that I think are probably guilty pleasures, but I've only seen them once, so I don't know if how rewatchable
they
are. But
they hold up?
It's like Sky High. I saw that once.
Yeah,
I rented it. I haven't seen it since on TV. I don't have a copy myself.
I've been meaning to buy that for ages, simply because it's Bruce part of the Campbell, Bruce Campbell anthology. But
Hero! Yeah. Sidekick!
Actually, yeah, I have seen that on, I think, HBO or something. It's kind of fun. Well, for me, my list is sort of like, I actually did make sure that I had all of these, because I figure if they're a guilty pleasure, I should have seen them more than twice.
Right.
Maybe more than three times, and they all qualify.
Which is why I crossed one off my list.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, like, let's just get started. Let's just jump in and go with it. Who wants to go first? Should I go first?
I'll go first.
Colleen, you go first.
I've liked this one film forever. My friend Mark and me are one of the few that just adore this film to death. Hudson Hawk.
Oh, God. There's one good...
See, that would qualify, because you should be embarrassed. Yeah.
Endlessly watchable, this film.
No, I've
watched it probably 36 times.
I say good God, because she actually subjected me to The Office. Oh.
I own the Hudson Hawk Game Boy game.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it kicks
there
ass.
There was a game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it shocked me, too. I found it... I was walking past, and all of a sudden you get that... I think I saw something out of the corner of my eye and, like, turned. It's like, sure enough, I bought the game before I had a Game Boy. I went out and bought the Game Boy for the game.
That movie does have one really great scene when he's on the gurney coming across the bridge, and he's flying it. Like, he's going God knows how fast, and he's, like, looking for change.
Pocket change, exact change only. Throws it. It goes in. The arm opens up at the time, and then the maniacal laugh as he's... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is a pretty good scene. And it features Kit Kat. David Caruso in his best role ever.
Sure, he has no spoken word in the whole thing, but that's okay.
But see, I could see that as a guilty pleasure, because it really is a fairly bad movie, but it does have some joyous moments.
If Colleen felt guilt, she would probably feel guilt with this one.
I totally agree.
Not at all.
Not at all.
It's an awesome film. You're just wrong.
No, I said if. You know, if we...
If I had a soul, is that what you're saying?
If we inserted the guilt gene.
Andrew Tam owns my soul and won't trade it back. The bastard. Damn poker.
Well, I'll go next. I'll share my number five, quote-unquote, guilty pleasure. A Cinderella Story. This is one of the teen movies I was talking about earlier, and it happens to be one of the not-so-good ones. But for some reason, I watch it fairly regularly. I really like this one. And it's basically the Cinderella story retold in modern times with Hilary Duff as Cinderella. Yeah. And, oh, Angelica Houston is in there. So, oh, no, it's not Angelica Houston. It's, I can't remember the woman's name. But, yeah, for some reason, I have a lot of fun with this one. And it's bad. it is bad, but I love it. Love every bad scene. So that's my number five. I have nothing to add. It's just a bad movie that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Have not seen that one.
Oh, I'll lend it to you if you want to see it.
I don't know how to order any of these things. Okay, so with all of the caveats, that we'll go with Jane Austen Book Club.
Oh, I wouldn't call that a guilty pleasure.
No?
No.
It's a romantic comedy.
Well, okay, so for you maybe it is, but for me it's actually a solidly entertaining film.
I tell people that I like that film and I just get...
the look. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's one that I actually really like.
Which I'm giving to Dale right now.
No, it's... You know, it's funny because I vaguely remember reading, I think it was Ebert's review of the movie. And he really enjoyed it.
It was a great ensemble piece, I thought.
Yeah, well, I think it's better than your average, like, mindless romantic comedy. Because, I mean, there is... It doesn't pretend to have more substance than it has.
Yeah.
But there is more than just what, but, you know.
You know what? I don't care. Because, you know, isn't that part of a guilty pleasure? It's very true.
Not
having
caring.
To justify.
Yeah, it's very true. It's one I really like.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I actually bought it on DVD after I saw it 2 or 3 times rented. So it was about time to add it to the collection. Colleen, back to
sorry.
You. Your number 4.
My number 4 is a Canadian film. Phil the Alien.
Oh, dear God. I should have known.
Some great quotes. I almost put that on my list, actually.
This came up at the local sci-fi thing as the movie Crossing. And when Greg held it up and said, yeah, this film is seriously bent, I just knew I had to see it. And good God, is it awesome. It's not a good film. But
awesomely bad.
It's awesomely bad.
Well,
moving stuff with your mind is the fucking coolest thing in the world.
It has some great lines,
yeah. And one of the actors played the...
Graham Greene, the Canadian content king.
Oh, I was thinking the actress from Star Trek, Deep Shit Nine.
Oh.
Deep Shit Nine. Was that
the last
trill? Was that
I forget her name.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I don't remember her name at
all. No, neither do I. Sorry. I never watched that show. So.
But the Jesus/Alien/whatever the hell is Rob Stefanik, which wrote, produced, directed, starred, probably financed.
Yeah, it's pretty bent. I agree. Good choice, actually. I'll have to link that trailer because that's a pretty bent movie. My number 4 is another arguably bad sci-fi movie. It's my first one on the list, actually. And this is Reign of Fire. Christian Bale and what's his name?
I could not finish that one.
Matthew McConaughey. Oh, yeah, it's bad. It's bad, but it's oh so good. Oh so good. If I had to have a tie, I'd have Reign of Fire and Waterworld back to back. That would be glorious. Glorious.
Yeah, throw in some of that Jodie Foster. Was it Sphere?
No,
that's Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
And that's just bad.
She was...
The one with the satellites and Jodie Foster.
Contact.
Yeah. Throw that in and I'd probably end up killing myself before the evening's over.
Too much Matthew McConaughey for my liking if you put those two back to back. But... I don't know, Reign of Fire, there's just something...
Oh, that reminds me of...
So manly.
He did that, what was the Clive Cussler movie, novel to movie. I've only seen it once. It might be a guilty pleasure, but...
McConaughey?
Yeah.
Well, let's see what else
he's
done.
Like...
Was it like a Western or something?
No, it was the...
Oh, are you thinking of the one with... what's her name? Sahara? Sahara is so totally guilty pleasure.
No, Sahara was a comedy. This was a thriller, action thriller. Kind of like a Bond kind of thing. He plays an adventurer, and they wind up fighting some polluter in
Frailty?
This...
Fool's Gold?
That's a comedy, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he was in We Are Marshall, Failure to Launch, which was definitely not that. Magnificent Desolation? Oh, no, that's a... Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, maybe I'm getting the wrong actor. Wouldn't that be?
Well, I can't find it here.
Does Conahay have like a Bill Paxton, Bill Pullman kind of guy going on in the background?
I don't think so. Oh, it might be this one. 13 Conversations About One Thing. Because this one stars David Connolly and Joseph Siravo. It looks fairly serious. I don't know. About a lawyer?
Anyhow.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, anyway.
We don't know. We're totally like off track on, of all people, Matthew McConaughey.
How very sad.
How very, very sad. Sorry to have sprung this on you. But yeah, Reign of Fire, arguably awful. I love it. That's my number four. Dale?
So enthused.
So enthused.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time actually putting an order on these things.
Yeah, I threw my...
Well, actually, no, you're right. It was Sahara.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It was Sahara. I've only seen it once, but it might actually fall into that.
It totally does.
It is pretty bad.
It is pretty bad, but you know what? It is watchable in a weird way.
Yeah.
It's something... I don't know what it is.
It almost did well enough that I'd hope they would do
a sequel.
A sequel.
I would watch a sequel. I mean, it is. It's not a good movie, but there's just some joy in watching them amongst all that destruction. And he is a fairly... I mean, he's a good looking guy, and he plays a fairly likable character in this sort of asshole-ish sort of way. But okay, sorry, totally sidetracked on McConaughey again.
Okay, so my super ex-girlfriend. Oh. Ivan Reitman movie, Uma Thurman, Luke Wilson, Eddie Lazard. I Anna Faris.
I love Luke Wilson.
I just, you know, it's another thing. I could not really recommend it, but I just liked it. And some of the jokes, they had one joke that they set up with his car. It's kind of like, they started earlier in the movie and it goes on and, you know, he's looking for his car and it winds up in orbit. Then it winds up back. And there were some other things with Uma Thurman playing the bitch that were just hilarious. I found.
Yeah. This is quite good because I'm actually learning a fair bit about you guys. 'Cause I knew you'd mentioned it more than once, but I hadn't actually realized you liked it that much.
You know,
I had Ribbon of Fire on my list.
The other interesting thing about guilty pleasures is they can change over time.
Well, right? Exactly, right.
I definitely, at one point, why a guilty pleasure? Buckaroo Banzai may have been on my list for a while, but now I find I can't watch it anymore, even though I still really enjoy it.
Well, and I think that sometimes you get the movie that starts as a guilty pleasure and somehow picks up steam and
sometimes it becomes
a guilty pleasure
and people,
it's not guilty anymore.
That okay, I have one of those that might, a couple of those that might fall into that. We'll
okay,
see.
Okay, we can talk about those too because I have at least one that falls into that list that I didn't add here because of that reason, but Colleen, number three.
You know what, I have a tie for number three and I just can't choose between them. They're both sort of like childhood, like fond memories, and I still love them to this day. Weird Al Yankovic's UHF.
that's just like used to be on my list.
/ Strange Brew, the McKenzie brothers.
Oh, like they're both, and that's on my list.
Neither one are what I would ever really call a good film, but I love them to death for
Strange
what they are.
Strange Brew still rocks.
Oh,
that thing in the van when they're in the water, I just, one of my all-time favorite comedy scenes ever.
Well, see, and I would say that would be a movie that's no longer much of a guilt thing,
well,
because it's entered the mainstream.
That was
really
exactly the one I was going to bring up. I mean, when it first came out in the 80s and early 90s, it was definitely uncool. And then Doug and Bob McKenzie kind of did a little...
Yeah.
I think it was their 20th anniversary or something.
It was always cool.
Well, that's the thing, but it entered the mainstream at that
Doug
point.
Doug and Bob were always cool, but Strange Brew disappointed
a lot of people
that were fans. But now it seems to be back into the cool again.
Yeah. And my movie that sort of falls into that is Clueless, which was kind of
came
out.
Was it really?
Well, I can't remember exactly, but I vaguely remember thinking that it was kind of uncool to like Clueless.
I didn't see it when it came out.
I did.
That's another one of those rom-coms. I didn't see it when it came out. I saw it somewhat later, and it was just like, why didn't I see this in the theater? It was one of the movies, actually, that made me embrace my inner rom-com lover because...
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's
thoroughly enjoyable.
Yeah, I watch it all the time, but it's not one that I would consider guilty anymore just because a lot of people like Clueless. It's not really a bad thing to like Clueless anymore because guess what? It's a smart movie. But I always sort of got the feeling that it was kind of oh, you like Clueless?
Yeah. Yeah, and another Jane Austen.
Yep.
Jane Austen, Shakespeare. There's a few classic stories.
But that would be the one that I would think sort of entered the mainstream, so it didn't really count. So I didn't put it on my list. What I do have on my list is one that I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of flack for, and I should probably... Colleen just looked over. My number three is actually Oliver Stone's Alexander, which I don't hate as much as everybody else in the universe.
You know, I still haven't seen that.
It's arguably bad. I mean, don't get me wrong. It is. It has some really, really bad moments. But there's something about that movie that, for me at least, is endlessly watchable. And bottom line, Oliver Stone can direct. Wow, big surprise there. So it looks really good. I mean, yeah, it has some moments that I do fast forward through, but I don't know. I do watch it. I've seen it more than once. I've seen it more than three times. And I would actually even venture to put Kingdom of Heaven in the same list, because it's another one that I really... This is like the good directors making shitty movies kind of double bill. But Kingdom of Heaven was one that I really liked, and I felt kind of guilty about because everybody else hated it. And then a director's cut of the movie came out, which is like over 3 hours long and actually fixes a lot of the problems that a lot of people had with the theatrical release.
Oh, wow.
So that's sort of now entered as, you know, the good version.
But the new
but I actually did like the original as well, which I thought was missing a bunch of stuff, but which I really, really, really liked. So that's my double bill, Alexander and Kingdom of Heaven. And that's my number three. I'm glad I could entertain you. Dale, your number three?
Lilo and Stitch.
Which I haven't seen.
And the reason I put it on my list, because arguably I thought it was an excellent movie. I can't recall what it did box office. I think it actually did quite well.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like none of the grown-ups thought, oh, this is a classic Disney cartoon, and didn't watch it.
Oh, okay.
And again, one of those ones where... So my criteria became, you know, movies that I've liked that people have looked at me funny for mentioning.
Oh, yeah, you like that? Kind of like...
Yeah, it's like Lilo and Stitch. Why would I want to watch Lilo and Stitch? But this is like a really, really smart movie. From just the individual scenes, I own it. It's one of the few movies I actually bought as soon as it was released.
I'm borrowing it from you.
There are a ton of great lines. Like, you come out of there quoting lines. Whoever did the writing on this nailed how kids talk. Like, the girl in here. It starts off with her talking about feeding a peanut butter sandwich to the fish. and that was why she was late. And it's like, why were you feeding a peanut butter sandwich to the fish? Well, because I couldn't feed him tuna because that would be cannibalism. some other stuff. And so Stitch is a space monster, and he's really just a bratty little kid in the form of a monster. But he is hilarious. It's like he gets run over, and the way they handled that scene with him getting run over and stuck in the wheel well of a truck, it's just like... The artwork is great, and the artwork isn't your typical kind of... I'm going to stop talking now, because I could talk for a long time about
Lilo
reasons I like Lilo and Stitch. There's another... Oh, I'm going to spoil it, too, if you're going to watch it all.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I've never seen it.
This is a great movie, but adults don't seem to want to watch it, number one, because it's a cartoon, and number two, because they think it's a kid's movie. And it has, and I did write this down, Tia Carrere, Vin Rames, David Ogden Stiers, Kevin MacDonald from Kids in the Hall fame. David Ogden Stiers played Winchester on MASH.
Oh, okay.
Ving Rhames, you should know. His character's name is Bubbles Cobra.
Nice.
Yeah, definitely. And the girl that played Lilo, she's not really a big name, but she did an awesome job. And Davey Chase?
No, anyway, no idea.
She's doing some TV stuff now. Hasn't done another... So, definitely, if you're looking for, especially if you have kids, but even as an adult, if you're just looking for a fun movie,
okay,
Lilo and Stitch, and be damned what people think about you.
Okay.
Yeah, I was using the criteria for my list. I had to essentially own it. I have had to have seen the film probably a good 20 times or more. And generally speaking, mainstream would go, oh, good God.
yeah,
kind of deal. And so my number two with that would be Death Race 2000, the world's greatest bad fight scene ever between Sylvester Stallone and David Carradine.
I like it.
Kick ass.
My favorite part of that entire movie is when he runs over, is it his own pit crew?
Oh yeah.
And they're
yeah.
like, is that even legal?
When the nurses and doctors wheel out all the old people and he decides to take out the nurses and doctors even instead? Though it's a lesser point level.
Oh yeah.
I freaking love
there are some great scenes in there.
Yeah, that movie is pretty kick-ass. The remake, not so kick-ass.
No. Even well, it's Statham. Not even... You know, it was more Running Man than it was Death Race.
Yeah,
so.
Totally, yeah, totally. Yeah, that was totally weird.
It was very weird. It has moments, but it's not Death Race, which I think is why it's so disappointing. But good pick. My number two is arguably another really bad movie, Underworld 2.
Oh, 2. I was with you until you got to the 2.
Well, because like, I think the first Underworld is, okay, so it's not great, but it's generally fairly well liked by, you know, fans of whatever genre you want to squeeze it into. Underworld 2 is arguably bad by most people, by most accounts, but I still like watching it. I don't know why, but I don't know. It might have something to do with the super vampire werewolf hybrid thing. I don't know. But yeah, Underworld 2, my second, number two guilty pleasure.
Excellent.
Pick that for what it is.
Okay, I don't know if this counts, but Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh yeah,
John Carpenter classic.
I don't know if that counts. That's not really cult. Well, that's not really bad.
You know what though? My mom would watch that and go, "What the fuck is this shit?"
When it first came out, it definitely was. I talked to people and they didn't get that it was supposed to be humor. I actually talked to someone that saw the movie and was just totally like confused and pissed off because
thought it was supposed to be Indiana Jones.
Thought it was serious. Yeah.
Wow.
Just didn't get it. But some of the quotes, like his whole Pork Chop Express monologue, you know, when some guy has the back of your favorite head in a barroom roll and says, "Where's the check?" You just tell him what old Jack Burton says.
I actually,
and you never know till you try. It was, comes from there too.
That's a really popular line.
Then, yeah, sure. And it's like, "Are you ready, Jack? I was born ready."
Ready. Yeah, there's some really great quotable lines. Yeah, I could see that one.
But I don't. Yeah, it may not actually qualify. But I do own it.
It qualifies in your
list. It qualifies if you think it's a.
Yep. Exactly.
My number one one of my favorite films of all time and. George Clooney's greatest work ever.
We knew this.
Yeah.
Return of the Killer Tomatoes, the sequel to the horrifically bad Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, which I also love, but not as much as Return of the Killer Tomatoes. This film has everything. It has ninjas, cowboys, Black Muammar Gaddafi. It it has Fuzzy Tomato. It's just endless. And it has the wonderful... John Austin as Professor Gangrene, and George Clooney is just stellar. It's awesome. I understand it's a horrible film and it brings a stupid retarded grin to my face just thinking about the film.
Nice. I should have known. We should have known, right?
I can still hear the theme song. And then there's
Return of the Killer Tomatoes.
Oh, and if you listen to the theme song for Return, they're actually mocking themselves because it's the original theme song, but it's like we're too cheap to actually change the words to do 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 Attack of the Killer Tomato. Yeah, never mind.
So Killer Tomatoes, Return of the Killer Tomatoes, that's your right. Number one pick. Mine should come as no surprise. Colleen last.
You have the most recent pick, I think.
Well, yeah,
and
she does.
You would be surprised as to how many times I've seen it. And it's only been out for like 3 weeks. It's quite sad, really. Twilight is my number one guilty pleasure at the moment. And that's all I got to say.
Yeah.
I have nothing to add.
Teenage girls and 40-year-old women.
Yeah.
But you don't fall into either category.
I was going to say, I'm not 40.
It was absolutely terrible. But by the end, I was completely into the film. Like, it was surprising. Yeah.
Yep. Sparkly vampires and all. I'll take it.
I took a chance on it. Yeah, it wasn't the greatest movie in the world, and I wouldn't own it, but I don't regret seeing it.
Yep.
It was a nice, cool, competent little movie.
But I can see where people would like mock you for being a big Twilight fan.
And I have seen it, like I say, more than once since I bought it.
Harry Potter went through the same thing. It's like, yeah, you can tell that J.K. Rowling's really gives a damn about.
No, I don't care. I'm a Twilight fan. Mm-hmm. That's my number one. Dale.
Oh,
you have to save us. Lift us from this abyss.
I don't, you know, mine haven't, you know me, I have a hard time actually ranking things. So this is my last one. So technically the number one slot, but I don't know if it falls into my number one. But this Island Earth, this old classic sci-fi, I actually love this movie and thought it was like some classic sci-fi goodness, and then Mystery Science Theater 3000 panned it. So I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Should I actually be, you know, guilty about liking this? But
you know, sci-fi sometimes is one of those genres that people just like to mock, whether they understand it or not.
But
it's just fun. It's much like Silent Running sometimes gets mocked. And I love that film.
That's the one with the saving of the trees, right?
Yeah.
With
Mark Kermode really likes that movie a lot.
It's good. It really is good. But a lot of people piece of shite.
I haven't seen it.
And actually, I saw that when I was in my teens, and I actually shed a tear at the end.
Yeah.
I'll have to rent that at some point.
I do have some honorable mentions.
So. Go for it.
I had two versus films that didn't quite make it. One because I haven't seen it enough, and the other just because, well, I only had to choose from five, and I even already squeezed into six. But anyhow, number one, Joe versus the Volcano.
Wait, is this the one with Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks.
Yep.
Okay.
That decides to sacrifice himself to a volcano to appease the gods.
Because he thinks he's dying. Yeah.
I remember that.
And you know what? It isn't the best film, but I enjoy it immensely. And I remember so many people shat on this film, and I don't know why. I find it fairly entertaining.
Yeah.
And the other one is not my favorite Godzilla film, but probably one of the strangest, Godzilla versus Monster Zero. This is the one where you have Godzilla sparring at one point, like shadow boxing. Another one where he's doing this weird sort of Celtic dance. And through part of the film, he is floating through space in a bubble. It truly is.
I wonder if that's where Nofsky got his idea for the fountain. And I love the fountain, so don't send me hate mail.
And the aliens in this picture, it looks like they have sink strainers actually attached to like a black hoodie.
Oh.
It's pretty magnificently awful. And I love it to death, but not quite as much as Mothra or the original Gorgira.
And that's your honorable mention.
Those are my honorables.
You know, again, rewatchability. I have to admit that the abortion Godzilla Roland Emmerich did.
Iggy-Zilla.
Is almost growing on me. In spite of the story, which is shite, if he had not called it Godzilla and pissed me off, I might have actually...
That's exactly it. It actually is, in my mind, an entertaining film. But everyone got their panties in a twist because they called it Godzilla, and they went with a whole different sort of like idea of where the genesis of Godzilla was. And
the story, I guess too, like sometimes it's expectations. Like I was going in there with the expectation of something a little bit more serious than it actually was, and now over time where I've kind of lightened up, and the plot is definitely kind of beyond implausible, at least everyone has their own bars for where plausible is too. I guess, but and Jean Reno does so many great scenes in there, like when he's chewing gum and it's like, it makes it look more American.
I don't know, I saw it once and you could have killed me after I came out of the theater. I had no interest.
I was channel surfing, and all of a sudden I was watching it, so who knows. Another one actually that would go on my honorable mention list is Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah. No, I could get behind that one, because that one was one that I had fun with. I liked the second one better. but that's just me.
Silver Surfer.
Yeah. I don't know why, but...
Since Dale looks confused.
Oh, I had to think of... Because I have seen Silver Surfer. That one was interesting. I think the first one had more actual fun.
Yeah, like, it was campier.
Joy
in
it.
Yeah, I could go with that.
I'll add one more. That just occurred to me that I didn't have on my list. So the DVD collection, it must be somewhere else right now. But Mystery Men.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I almost made my list. I've seen that many times. I own it. A lot of people overlooked it. I don't know if it was as much panned as Overlooked, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hard to say.
I don't remember it coming out. I only caught it on DVD, so I don't know.
I have a funny feeling it caught a lot of flack because it wasn't...
Your typical...
Yeah, it wasn't superheroes. It was pathetic sort of losers starting their own Justice League.
Yeah, which reminds me, actually,
Which sounds like my friends.
I should have actually put Push on my list, too.
Oh, you like Push?
I
can't wait till that comes out on DVD because I'd like to pick that.
Well, I've only seen... Okay, sorry. No, that would be one that I'd only seen once anyway. There's a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, I do a lot of, or have done, a lot of my movie watching on TV, like the older stuff. And there are a whole bunch of older movies I've seen a couple times that I don't have a good enough memory to remember them. But I know in some of the older romantic comedies, like especially in the 60s and early 70s before...
Don't Eat the Daisies?
I just can't even... And some of the old war stuff, especially some of the propaganda stuff, it's just... It's cheesy bad goodness, and I'm there. Some of it is one-off. The history... Turner Classic was showing a bunch of old, really old World War II stuff that would fall into the propaganda stuff. And I enjoyed watching it once. But there were a couple things in there that I'd seen before that it's just like, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I would love to own the 49th Parallel, which is when the World War II sort of propaganda films, the Nazis invade Canada, and it's...
Oh, you're kidding me.
It's the Canada's all sort of like soft and cuddly, and they all get captured or whatever kind of
there,
thing. But,
there is a really bad war movie that... where they actually do get stranded or something and invade, like, Halifax. They take over a little port town.
Oh, my God.
And are trying to escape, and the Canadian Air Force, or sorry, the Royal Canadian Air Force, you know, bombs the boat before they get out. It's, like, really bad.
Well, yeah. I'll bring this up because I don't know if you guys can really relate, but having somebody that you live with that you don't really share movie tastes with interesting. And
are
especially,
we talking Slapshot?
No.
Dirty Dozen.
No. We're not talking about either of those. But Dan very rarely buys movies, like, ever. So when he buys a movie, it's a big deal. Like, a really big deal. So every once in a while, something infiltrates my DVD collection that shouldn't be there. And then he never watches them again, which really bothers me. But so we've got three movies on the DVD shelf that we saw once in theater, which he then bought and which we still haven't rewatched. So we have Transformers, The Simpsons, and wait for it, The World After Tomorrow. Do you remember that one? The Emmerich, the snow movie?
Global warming one?
Yeah, so these are the three movies that the husband has purchased that have infiltrated the DVD shelf and which we have never seen since buying, ever.
Day After Tomorrow might almost qualify. We'll see.
I totally would say it would qualify, but then we haven't seen it since it came out in the theater. It's sitting on the shelf.
I watched it on TV. It was better than I thought.
Yeah. The only Michael Moore film I've ever liked.
And Canadian Bacon.
Canadian Bacon.
It's on the shelf.
It's awesome.
Love it. Yeah, I don't know why, but those are the three movies that he's bought. That just I see them there and I just want to throw them away. And I feel kind of bad. I have a feeling that just before Transformers 2 comes out, he might actually put Transformers in to watch it. But I'm very surprised that he hasn't actually rewatched that since it came out. Because he was pretty keen on it and he really enjoyed it.
You should have a Transformers night. Watch that. Put on the Big Fucking Robots Are Coming shirt. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Well, you know, he did make me watch the original Transformers movie, so. that animated, for what it is, and if you think, put yourself into the age of like a 14-year-old boy in the mid-80s, it does have some.
I got dragged to that in the theater because the kid that was the same age as me across the street was desperate to go to see it. And yeah, no. Terrible. Yeah. Holy shit, that was bad.
And it's funny because we went to the movie this weekend and we watched one of the trailers that they had was the Transformers 2 trailer. And that trailer, aside from the really cool like sound effects, it's really kind of flat. Like, nothing really happens. Like, you see, like, the big monsters, but for whatever reason, as soon as that trailer ended, I'm like, okay, now, can we watch the Terminator 2 trailer? Or the Terminator, whatever it's called, Salvation, or whatever it is. I'm like, now, that's a really good trailer, because, I mean, that gets you pumped. But, I mean, the Transformers one was kind of cool the first time I saw it, but it's really a bland trailer.
I won't be going to see Transformers 2.
After the first one.
Yeah. First 20 minutes, and then I had to close my eyes. Good sound.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the sound in the trailer is pretty cool, but the trailer itself, after you see all the big monsters once, it's kind of like, oh yeah, okay, and that's all you got? I don't know. It's really not doing much for me. But I'll be dragged. I'll be there. And I think that's it, eh?
Sure. Yeah, that's
more than enough. I got to talk about UHF, Return of the Killer Tomatoes, Hudson Hawk. It's a good day.
Have you listened to the voiceover or the director, Weird Al, talking about
UHF? No, my UHF copy is actually from an old VHS tape.
Oh, I should loan it to you. The poor guy. I'll say this about UHF and having rewatched it, because UHF would almost make my guilty pleasure, but I found when I rewatched it that it was, it was really slow. And listening to him talk about it, it was his first movie. And if he'd had a mentor to help him cut it a little bit, like the comedy is still in there. Like some of the jokes are still quite funny, but the pacing and the editing is just a little bit off, so it feels slow.
Yeah.
I think if he'd had somebody helping him out along the way, it would have been a much better movie. He would have hit bigger. And you can hear it in his stuff. There's a little bit of bitterness, which surprised me. Usually you don't hear directors. I mean, a little bit of self-deprecation is one thing, especially from Weird Al. But this one, in my kind of opinion, listening to it, it kind of crossed the line into, like, bitter.
Oh, wow. Was that... obviously, that was recorded much later.
Yes.
Then.
Yeah, much, much later.
Hmm.
But yeah, Stanley Spadowski is one of my all-time favorite characters in any film.
The guy,
yeah, Michael Richards.
I think he was actually almost discovered.
Yeah,
out of that. Yeah,
because
to keep my mop?
Yeah, because when you guys showed me that movie, I was kind of like, oh look, it's Kramer.
And Fran Drescher.
Fran Drescher's in there.
Yeah, Fran. Yeah. Oh my God, I talk like this. Yeah, she's an annoying woman, but really like her.
She's a smart businesswoman, though.
She is.
Like, that whole nanny thing was, like, her creation, and...
No, she's good.
She made some coin off it.
Yeah. All the people who told her that she had to lose the accent, she had to lose the hair, lose everything about her that makes her her.
I actually, at some point, when I was in high school, I actually read her biography or something. She has not had it easy, so yeah, I like Fran. She's pretty good. But yeah, I'm rambling. And you know, I just recalled that I forgot to do like the announcement thing.
Oh, that's okay.
So yeah, the only thing to remember.
Let's re-record the whole thing.
No, we've done enough of that for like the last
months. That last one was cursed enough.
It was
pretty April preview.
That we're good for the rest of the year, damn it.
Yeah, exactly.
No more technical difficulties.
But no, the only thing to keep in mind is watch Alien Quadrology. Must watch Alien movies.
I thought you said Alien Trespass for a second. Is there an update? Is it here yet?
No, I haven't seen anything. I'll keep you posted. Worry not. But yeah, I think that's it.
So yeah, send us your guilty pleasures. I want to see.
I'm kind of curious. So either, you know, drop us an email or leave a comment. Let us know what your guilty pleasures are.
How much you hate me for even mentioning Hudson Hawk. Bring it on.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm waiting for the hate mail for Alexander. That should have maybe been at the top of my list because it's probably the strangest of them all.
It's the funniest.
It sure is. And the funny thing is that I never saw that movie on the big screen, and I picked it up at a video crossing. I think Greg had brought it. I'm like, you know, I've never seen it, so I'm going to take that one. And it was full screen. So I watched it, and I actually kind of liked it. And then at some point, I picked up a widescreen version for like $3 in some discount bin. But yeah, I'm actually, I wouldn't say I'm a supporter, but I do like it.
No. All right, then.
Yeah, kind of weird. Oh, yeah, okay, so I need to
wrap this up. Yeah. We're looking for
You know what it is? I'm looking at the sun, and I'm sort of, like, mesmerized. I can't help myself.
Yeah.
So come on by row3.com for all the fabulous movie news, reviews, and all that other conversation about movie stuff. 353review.com for movie reviews and haiku. And Dale, new content at Digital Doodles. This is, like, the ever question. We should probably drop that question, eh?
DigitalDoodles.com. Depends how much pressure you want to put on it. Yeah.
And so until next time,
we'll see you after the credits.